Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Groomer Humor on Pet Life Radio. As always, we are your hosts. I'm Rudy V, along with Anthony Ray. We want to thank our producer Mark Winter and Pet Life Radio for giving us the opportunity. And most of all, we want to thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us rant every once in a while. So guys, we really appreciate you. In this episode, we're going to be talking about why groomers may be refusing your dog. We're going to look at some different perspectives here, guys. We're going to look at it from the client's perspective, and we're going to look at it from the groomer's perspective. And we also have our very funny comment segment coming up in this episode of Groomer Humor.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Groomer Humor. Once again, we are your hosts. I'm Rudy V, along with Anthony Ray. Guys, thank you so much again for tuning into our podcast. We enjoy doing it, and we enjoy having fun and talking to each other pretty much, right, Ant?
Like, first question for you is, you know, how's it been?
You can't let it go.
No. Why? Why let it go, I think? Well, for those of you who are listening and not watching, in case you don't know, you know, a couple weeks ago, my dad did the old shave head. I just want to know, like, do you like it?
It's, do I like not having to worry about it? Yeah. But here's the thing. I don't have the normal balding. Okay. I don't have that normal balding where it actually still looks good when you're balding. I have the crown balding, as we've talked about in past episodes. So, even Mark said, this makes me look less bald, if that makes sense. Does it?
I guess it's like it hides in plain sight, you know.
that's a good way of looking at it. And you make it sound like your hair is so damn great. Jeez, your hair is really, it really is great.
You have
awesome hair.
It's starting to get those whites though. Starting to get those whites. I just pulled one out before the show. Got to be camera ready, baby.
Your hair is dreamy.
Dreamy.
It really is. You have dreamy hair, dude. He does. Look at it.
I mean,
turn sideways. Look at this guy's hair.
I do have pretty good hair.
Yeah. You have amazing hair.
I get compliments on it a lot. Do you?
I get compliments on your hair. like, boy, is that your son? Yeah. He has really
nice hair. Not
Thank
you.
You. Not you.
Well, you did have nice hair.
I did a long time ago.
I'm very afraid of what can happen to me.
Yeah, but then once you get married and then you have a you and another you, then the hair starts to fall out. And you have a you, so expect.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to expect that.
Do you have a new appreciation for like the wind, things of that nature on the scalp?
Yeah. It's it feels more like freeing because I had like the little tuft in the front here.
Yeah. A blocker.
Yeah. So every once in a while the wind would like hit it and it would just kind of like just feel like there was like an insect on my head. But you know, but now I just get the wind. It feels better.
It's like skinny dipping. Like something feels good about this.
Something, yeah.
Yeah. It's
I forget that I did it and I have people coming up to me going, "Oh my God, what'd you do to your hair?" And I go, "Oh, like you noticed, you know, what I did was a 7F blade though."
Hey, now we're talking about grooming again. Look at that.
right into grooming. See, I did it perfect. With a 7F blade, guys. So all you dog groomers out there that want this look, if you're looking for this look, then it's a 7F blade. Just
all of this could be yours. Just watch our videos, like and subscribe.
Like, you know, I'm going to do a DIY on it.
Yeah, I think you should.
Yeah, but like, you know, you have to really appreciate it. It's easy to like wipe the head down. Like I wipe it down. I get a wipe it up. You don't need to wash your hair no more. Just wipe.
It dries real quick, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. I'm still glad you did it.
Thanks, man.
I was just checking in on it. That's all. Wanted to see what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels good. Feels good aging, you know, everything. It all comes together after a while. The hernia is coming together. You know, the varicose veins are kind of like blending into the hernia area. So it's like all one pain now. It's not just, you know what I mean? It's like hernia, varicose vein pain, you know, wake up in the morning, can't feel the right leg for a while.
Yeah. It's you know one I mean? Pain. I like that. That's funny. Yeah.
The body adjusts. It just adjusts.
So. Yeah, that's true. Your pain tolerance, like you do fine in like a torture thing. What can they do to you that you haven't already experienced in one way or the other?
They do to you,
I've heard you say countless times throughout the years that, you know, it burns. So go ahead, take a flame to him, you know, take a blowtorch to him. He knows what that is.
Let's see how much he can handle.
Yes. You know, it's not, you feel that plus grooming. Yeah. So, you know,
well, if you are a groomer, that's what you have to look forward to. A lot of aches and pains in the near future. You know, like, yeah, I like to watch these young cats, man, just, you know, grooming away. I do 20 dogs a day. Ugh. Yeah. Wait.
Yeah. Those days are done.
But let's talk about grooming though. Let's get into this. So the topic is, you know, why do some groomers refuse your dog? We know this all too well, guys, because there's a bunch of reasons. Number one reason, I think, a lot of times dog groomers will end up having to refuse your dog is because they're just overbooked. They just have too many dogs, too many clients. And, you know, they get a bunch of walk-ins or assuming that they can just maybe get their dog groomed that day. Then they find out they have to wait a month and you know, they have to go elsewhere. That's probably the number one reason. But I want to get into like the more in-depth reasons why, you know.
We got a show.
That's why we got a show. So overbooking definitely is one of them. Also, you know, if your dog is like an extreme biter or your dog is just jumping around, moving around too much, it might be too much for that groomer to handle. And we talk about this a lot, guys. I mean, it's that type of job where some groomers will handle it well and they'll take the time to do it. And other groomers are just, you know, kind of their backs are against the wall. They're relying on their grooming business or their job to support their families. And they just don't have the extra time to take to deal with a dog that's just not taking to it. And it can get very dangerous. And especially it's just as dangerous with a dog jumping around as it is a dog like biting, you know, and
same kind of risks really.
Yeah.
The difference is, you know, a dog biting, the biggest thing outside of you getting bit yourself is the dog biting the clippers and getting hurt from that, getting injured from that. So it's the same risk with the dog just being jumpy is that, you know, it can get hurt. You one wrong move and now you chop the nipple off. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Happens all the time. You know, we had a dog just the other day, just wouldn't let me get near its rear. It was a female. And it was matted, all just congested in the butt area, the sphincter area, the vulva. It was just like solid mat. And here's a dog just jumping around, does not want me near it. So the challenge is, how am I getting this mat out? How am I getting a 10 blade, even a 30 blade? I actually had to use like a 15 or a 30 because the mats were so bad up and around her privates there. Again, with the dog jumping around, coming around on me, trying to just do anything to get me to stop doing it until Anthony steps in and helps me hold the dog. And, you know, Anthony holds the dog up in a certain way where, you know, his hand is like right up in the lower rib cage where I can still access where the mats are. Again, a groomer's working alone. It's so tough. We highly suggest that anybody out there who's a professional dog groomer, have an assistant, have somebody help you, and vice versa. You know, you got to help each other because it really has become a two-person job.
I don't know how, maybe it's just because I'm so used to us working together, but I don't know how anybody can groom on their own in the shop setting. I understand like at home is different, but I don't know how you could run a grooming business without at least an apprentice or a second groomer there who does their own dogs or however, because it's really common that you need me at the table.
Oh, yeah.
Even for nail clips where the dog is good.
Yeah.
It's sometimes in certain like positions, you can't on your own do it safely without making sure the dog doesn't accidentally back off the table or whatever. So even a dog that's behaving can be a two-person job.
Absolutely.
I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, no, even with the small, with Dolores's little Shih Tzus.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we did a video on the little tiny Shih Tzu. I mean, the dog is literally this big. So it's very difficult to just for one person to do it because the dog is very nervous and it's shaky. And, you know, the paws are so dainty that you want to be careful how you lift them. Anthony just holds the dog. Anthony will literally just hold the dog like this against his chest. Yeah. And I clip the nails. And that's not even like a bad dog. It's not a dog trying to bite or anything. It's just a normal dog that does better if you're holding it, you know? But yeah, these are the challenges in the dog grooming industry. And again, staying on focus with the topic of the show is why dog groomers might be refusing you. Another big one. And again, we get into this like crazy part of it is customers just, or, you know, having a really, really high expectation and constantly complaining, like add that the dog is unruly, doesn't want it done. And on top of that, the customer is saying, oh, I didn't like the way you did the head the last time, or, you know, they want the dog back immediately, you know, oh, I want him back in an hour. It creates a lot of pressure on a dog groomer when you come in and say, oh, I need my Bichon done by 12 o'clock and you have six other dogs to groom that day.
I think that some people, because I actually didn't know this, where I get my haircut, I decided against my father's 7F blade skills.
I don't know why.
I'm not sure either. But I took the risk out in the world instead of going with the professional. And apparently a lot of barbers and salons take walk-ins. And I guess maybe it's just sort of like the lack of knowledge on the whole thing. But like groomers don't take walk-ins. I can't imagine anyway that they would. It doesn't really make much sense. So like you add that to the pressures of not liking how it came out or what, especially when you have a puppy. When you have a puppy and you're worried about how it looks after their like first grooming, whatever groomer just did your puppy for you is not going to want to do it again because you're already into the looks aspect of it and you know, the fluffiness and I want them to look this way and that way. And it's like that they're still in their puppy coat. It's their first time getting groomed. This is just an example, but it's like, you know, the first couple of times are all about introduction to grooming, building that relationship with your groomer, letting your dog build a relationship with the groomer. Then once the dog matures a little bit and it knows what's going on, now we can discuss a little bit of like, yeah, I want the ears a little shorter or the paws shorter, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. It's often overlooked with Anthony's talking about here is that when people say, oh my God, the dog stays so still, like, how do you think it didn't just get that way because it's such a great dog. It got that way because a professional dog groomer is going to train the dog to stay still. And we've mentioned that a lot in the past too. So it's more than just grooming your dog. By the time you get to the grooming part, you've done all these other things, such as what Anthony's saying, gaining the dog's trust, table training the dog, getting the dog to stay on the table long enough where you can actually get a clipper on the dog or a pair of scissors on the dog. So again, there's so much that goes into it. So when you have that customer that says, oh, you know, I need her back in, you know, by noon, you know, and they dropped off at 10 and you have a puppy that's jumping around that you may have to do in parts, like maybe take out for a little while, work on the dog, put it away, give it a break, take another dog out. This expectation of just, you know, bing, bang, boom, groom my dog, you know, and, you know, I pay you money and you groom my dog. And that's how it works. That's not how it works, because this is a unique occupation where it takes a lot of integrity. It takes a lot of knowledge to groom a dog. It just doesn't happen overnight. And like you said, if you are the groomers around here are booked at least a month in advance. We're booked about 3 weeks to a month ourselves. So I don't know of any dog groomers that are taking in walk-ins. And aside from that too, you really have to kind of, with the uniqueness of this business, you're not just taking everybody that walks through the door. It just doesn't work that way. You really have to interview the client, and you have to kind of have a rapport with the dog. And we've mentioned it. We've mentioned where dogs sometimes do great with us and they do horrible with other groomers, or vice versa. They'll do horrible with another groomer and do great with us. So it really depends. It's so much other stuff is involved. Other aspects are involved with dog grooming before you even get the clippers on the dog.
We usually, like, because sometimes a mistake too, as somebody who's looking for a groomer, is kind of just showing up in the middle of the day. Because for us, you know, when we're working and then you come in, because we also have to meet your dog too. So it's almost better to, like, kind of call ahead and see if the groomer that you're looking to meet sets up like meet appointments. So it's like they could finish their day and then talk to you, because sometimes people walk through the door and we can't even give them our full attention because we're in the middle of our day. Whether they have their dog with them or not, they usually don't. But even if you did, it unless you catch us at the perfect time, we can't really stop what we're doing to come out and meet your dog and talk to you. And maybe that was a dog we could have did, but we can't, we don't have the time because we're in the middle of the day.
Sure.
You know, we've told people, can you come back a little bit later? And so we can meet your dog because it looks friendly and all that, you know, that like it's, there's so much that goes in before the four clippers hit hair. There are so many things that need to sort of line up and be done.
Yeah.
I like
yeah.
the way you looked at it as like interviewing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. As much as, and it's vice versa. Like, you know, they're also interviewing you. You know, they have to like you as the groomer. You have to have a clean shop, not putting it all on the dog owner here or the dog. Groomers have to step up and have a clean store. And a system that works for them where the client's going to want to bring their dog to you. But again, it's just, there's a lot that goes into it. And that's why, you know, when you have the high expectation there, it just doesn't always work that way. It just doesn't. It's a different occupation. And a lot of times what might happen too is like you can even interview the dog, right? And they're really, really friendly and they're happy. But once you put them on the grooming table, they become a terror. So you really never know until you actually groom the dog or try to groom the dog, because dogs are just going to be dogs. And especially puppies, they think, especially when they first get into their new environment, everybody's loving them. Everybody's giving them everything. And they have all this freedom and this range. And then all of a sudden, like, they're restricted onto a grooming table. They don't like that. You know, it's not something they like. But you have to kind of teach the dog that, number one, it's temporary. Trust me, let me do this. It'll be over and you'll be back into your fun, loving environment. And it takes a lot to introduce that aspect, you know? So,
I mean, if you could introduce every dog that walked through the door to that aspect of everything, that we'd be rich.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's not,
That's
just some dogs take a long time to learn. Some dogs really never can. It's not always the dog's fault either. Sometimes they just got started up too late.
Another thing that, you know, you as a dog owner, or if you're looking for a dog, that you have to take into consideration is the type of dog you're getting. You know, so if you're getting don't just go out willy-nilly and say, oh, I want a golden doodle. You know, if you are, and I suggest this to anyone who has or is interested in getting a golden doodle or a labradoodle or a Bernie doodle, anything doodle, especially the larger ones, you better have some grooming skills, because a lot of groomers just can't take on another golden doodle. How many golden doodles do you think a groomer could do in a day? You know, I could do one. You know, there are other groomers that might do two or three, but you know, most of the time they're just going to try to shave your dog down because it's just too much work. It's just way too much work. So if you're looking for a dog, or you're interested in purchasing a puppy, consider the breed and line up your dog groomer. Make sure that there's a dog groomer in your area that, number one, does large breeds. A lot of groomers don't do large breeds. We have swayed away from it. I'm older. I have a hernia. I can't do Bernie doodles anymore, you know? So line up your dog groomer, line up your veterinarian, and talk to people. Maybe talk to a dog groomer if you have a local dog groomer before you go out and make a dog purchase. And it doesn't even, I'm not singling out golden doodles or anything like that. It could be a Shih Tzu. A Shih Tzu might be too much for you to handle. Or if dog groomers are that booked in your area, they may not even be able to take your Shih Tzu. So always, when purchasing a dog or you're going to acquire a puppy of any sort or a rescue, consider dog grooming. Please consider dog grooming.
I've definitely met Shih Tzus that I would rather groom a golden doodle.
Absolutely.
Some Shih Tzus. I don't mean to call out Shih Tzus, but they're so common that you could probably ask any groomer if they have any Shih Tzu horror stories, and they probably all have at least one, just because so many people buy Shih Tzus. So the chances of you having a running into a rough one is high.
I owned a Shih Tzu named Tiger, and towards the end of his life, I would have rather groomed a tiger. I couldn't get near him. Couldn't even pick him up. I mean, that's how bad it got. Couldn't even pick him up.
Tiger was really sweet too.
Yeah. Yeah. He was a sweet dog.
Yeah.
Like towards the end, he just wasn't having anything. This dog would stare at the basement door and bark excessively for hours at nothing. So try putting a clipper on that. Try getting a 10 blade under those eyes. Let me know how you make out.
Yeah, something tells me he's not quite going to stay still.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
It's what do we call it? No zip, zap, and a boom about that.
No. His like everything else was gone. His hearing was gone. His eye couldn't see, couldn't move, but his biting skills were completely intact.
Right. Well, you know what they say, you know, you lose a couple of the senses and it just heightens the, you know, so biting is a dog sense.
He was like a cobra. Mm-hmm. I mean, he would bite you from a distance, you know. All right. Another reason why a groomer might be refusing you is this: if you're the type of dog owner who's just obsessed with staying with the dog, some dog owners are just so obsessed with never leaving the dog that most groomers are going to say, "Hey, man, listen, this is just it's too much. I don't want to do this," because you're actually scaring the dog groomer out of even trying, because you're just that worried about it. If you're that worried bringing your dog in, imagine what the dog groomer is feeling when you bring that dog in. And we're not saying don't love your dog. Of course, love your dog, but you, just like you would trust a surgeon or a dog groomer to give you a haircut, like I trusted myself. You know,
seven up, baby.
You know, you have to trust the dog groomer to an extent where you're not this obsessed person with not trusting anyone. And also, what happens with that is your dog is sensing that from you too, and the dog will learn to not trust anyone as well. It's a big problem. We get that old, I won't leave my dog. You know, I want to stay while you groom my dog. It's like, okay, well, here's your dog, because we don't do that. Yeah,
that is a big, especially like, because so many dogs have become like the like what do they call it, like for stress, like not service dogs, but so many people have gotten dogs for their anxiety.
Yes.
And it helps. Honestly, I'm shocked that that even works, because a dog is such a heavy responsibility sometimes. It's great that people can use them for anxiety, but that wouldn't make me feel less anxious having a dog to take care of. Whatever, it works for some people, but, a lot that, since that's become such a popular thing and, you know, it helps a lot of people. We see it more and more often where people become super attached to their pet and to their dog, especially, and they don't want to leave them. Yeah. And, sometimes even people who are willing to leave them, those are also some of the same people who want the dog, you know, can I come back in an hour? Like they can't let go of the dog, and you know, they want, that's so much pressure there.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to solve, especially if you, cause we all love our pets, but you know, I don't want to leave my cats with anybody, you know, but, and I give customers, dog pet owners, a lot of credit for leaving your dog with any groomer. It's, I know, hard. It's not easy. So it's a difficult thing to do. It's difficult for the groomer too, because now the dog is our responsibility for the day.
Yeah. And when you have that kind of attitude though, it heightens an already high pressure situation. Yeah. It's high pressure just getting your dog done on a normal day, even if the dog is willing, and it's still a difficult job. So when you do that, it just really heightens everything and heightens the pressure. And you know, if you are the type of dog groomer that can do that, then by all means, you need to seek that groomer out. But there's not a whole lot of groomers. That's part of the problem. You know, I mean, we do a lot of that. We do some after hour dogs. You know, we do what we can. We do what we can, and we're not perfect.
There's a very few exceptions, like as far as, you know, staying with your dog or even after hour stuff. I mean, some groomers do it different. We've done it. We've even changed the way we do. We used to do only, you know, no night dogs. We call them after whatever, any dog coming in after 3, I consider a night dog. We've gone from never doing that to splitting up our day. And we do like 3 in the morning and 3 in the afternoon. You know, we've done, now we're kind of like a mishmash where we have a few exceptions and we just kind of have random, you know, full days. And then every once in a while we'll have a night dog. I don't know, whatever works for the groomer, I guess, or what a specific customer might need. And if it's worth it, then some groomers will meet those requirements, but sometimes it's a lot to ask. Sometimes it's too much to ask.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, and you know, we're trying to look at it from both perspectives, like we said in the beginning. So, you know, from the client's perspective, what Anthony's saying, we understand it takes a lot. It takes a lot of trust to try to leave your dog, because it is your baby. You know, you love your dog, and we love your dog too. But again, don't heighten that. Don't make your dog more fearful. It's kind of like, you know, even with your child, you know, after a while, you're going to have to send them off to school. As scary as that is, you got to trust, and you got to at least try to trust. But from the groomer's perspective, it doesn't make it any easier, because again, now we're twice as nervous on working on your dog. Like, God forbid we were to nick this dog, and it does happen. Oh my God. You know what I mean? Well, now what? So anyway, here's another thing from, like, say, a groomer's perspective that people, I think, should understand or try to understand is that, and this happens to us a lot, like where, you know, we'll get a puppy, right? And we'll get this new puppy, and we break through to it, and we're able to do something on it. And the people are semi, you know, satisfied with the job, really not giving us what we want. We want, oh, that's great. Thank you so much for grooming our dog.
I'm glad you were able to do anything.
I'm glad you were able to do anything.
It's a puppy.
Right? It's a puppy. But then, you know, second grooming comes along, the dog does even better. And lo and behold, after 3, 4, 5 groomings, the puppy's just doing great. And us as the groomer, we're so happy, because it's like, oh, now we can do a better job. They seem to be satisfied. And you're grooming this dog for the first year of its life. And then all of a sudden, they jump ship. You did all of the work. You did all of the training. You did the hard part of getting this dog to become groomable. And then all of a sudden, another groomer or one of the bigger chain stores gets to make all of the money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when that person comes back, because they usually do, because their groomer went on vacation, or the bigger chain stores are overbooked, and then they come back and they go, "Hey, will you groomer?" No,
right.
No, it's a no, because you just took everything that I did and gave it to somebody else, and what's to say that's not going to happen again, right? And
yeah.
We don't want a one-off. Most groomers do not want a one-off grooming, okay? And again, that's one of the reasons why you need to kind of interview your customers. Is this customer, like, remember, we just got somebody who came into the store the other day. Oh, can you do my dog? Because my groomer's on vacation. Yeah. Listen, it's a one-off. Why would I want to? You know, because I know that as soon as your groomer comes back, you're going to go right back to them. So what am I going to do? Am I going to risk hurting your dog? And now all of a sudden I'm the bad guy? Or, you know, am I going to put somebody else aside who is a good customer to squeeze you in for a one-time grooming? No, groomers want to hang on to their clients because it gives us a chance to get to know the dog better. It gives us a chance to do better jobs in the future, and it gives us a rapport with the owner. So if it's that like one-off, if a groomer needs the money, then yeah, do it. But you know, we're really looking for people to work with us and come back with their dog.
Yeah, and it's not with the one, like the vacation. It's not always this pride and loyalty thing either. It's you said it yourself. It's just the risk. When there's this, grooming is such a risky business. It's so difficult. It's such a div. Even with a good dog, a dog who's standing still can get nicked. That's how risky this business. That's how easily your day can be ruined or your month can be ruined as a dog groomer. So the one-offs, it's not always based on, you know, no, well, you didn't stay with me. It sometimes it is for sure. Especially in the puppy, you know, work on it for a year. Then it's like, kind of like, no, we're not going to do that. But sometimes it's just like the vacation thing is a good example of that. It's just what we can't, it's so not worth the risk for you to wait an extra 2 weeks for your groomer to come back from vacation. It's not worth the risk for us. Dog's not used to us. We don't know the dog. We're going to risk, you know, it's something, God forbid, something happening, when all it really was is like, you're okay. So your groomer is went south for a week. Like, right. It does, you know, right. It's not, it's kind of like a, no, yeah. It's not worth it. It's not worth it for your dog either. Mm-hmm. It's not. Why stress your dog out? Now they got to learn a new place.
Exactly.
And we got to learn, they got to learn us. What if they don't like us? Even if we say, oh yeah, they didn't take to us, they didn't like it, still, it's not worth the stress for your dog. It's not worth putting your dog through anything, even if we ended up not doing it. Right. It's like, no, they don't. Why make your dog spend the day with us in any way?
Yep.
If your groomer's going to be back, stick with them. Don't table hop.
Exactly. It's like the girl with the two poodles. Remember how many times we, you know, redid their dog. You know, we trained her puppies, her two little poodle puppies, and they were just maniacs. They were absolute maniacs.
They were very difficult.
So difficult. Finally got them to the point where, you know, I can do like a little clown cut. I was doing little clown cuts on them, meaning, you know, little puffies, little balls on the feet and the tail and the shade. And they were starting to come out really, really cute. Only for her husband complained about the price. At the time we were charging like $55, complaining about the price, flinching at $55. Give me a break. And then she jumped ship and then came back and we did it again. And then, you know, she jumped ship again. And then she tried to get, and it was like, no, we're done with this. You're not going to keep using us. Because you're getting a better price somewhere else. And again, all I'm doing is moving a potential long-term client that will be just a much better fit for us. So,
and that's not even counting moving aside some potential clients who are walking, like we keep saying yes to you. And because we said yes to you and your two mini poodles, for all we know, the person that we then had to say no to, who we've never met before, comes in with their puppy and we had to turn them away because we just don't have the time. Now we're booked that much further in advance. And for all we know, that dog, she would have been the most loyal person in the world.
Yeah.
And stayed with us. And it's like we said no to her to say yes to you and you're gone again too.
There you go. Exactly.
It just doesn't, you know.
So true. And it's like, you know, again, we understand price. We understand, you know, finance is an issue with anything. Okay. But, you know, let's just say, you know, your average dog groomer is making $50 an hour and there's dog groomers that make twice that, you know, let's just use $50 an hour. You come in with a golden doodle that's taking you a minimum of 3 hours. Okay. Why are you complaining about $150? Does that dog groomer not deserve $50 an hour? That dog groomer certainly deserves more than $50 an hour. But again, you'll get like these big jobs and they want it done for $50. Mm-hmm. They want you to do it for $25 an hour. Okay, so why? Again, this is a business, guys. Make no mistake about it. As much as we love animals and we love dogs, we're still, we have families. Dog groomers have families. We have children. We got grandchildren, right? That we got to support. We got bills like everybody else. It's a business, right? So why is a dog groomer going to do this big golden doodle that's going to consume 3-4 hours of their day when they can do, you know, 3-4 shih tzus in that time and make twice the amount of money? So point being, if you have a big dog that requires a lot of dog grooming, you're going to have to pay the price. Again, either that or have some grooming skills yourself. Watch our channel, watch other dog grooming channels and learn how to groom. This way you can help offset that if you have a big job, a big dog, and you can't afford grooming, you know. But if you can afford grooming, you should be throwing $150-$200 to your dog groomer. I'm sorry, if you have a big giant a golden doodle or even a big Saint Bernard with a big undercoat or something like that, you're talking about $250-$300 of grooming in some areas. Be understanding that it takes time to groom a dog and it is a business and money is part of that aspect. So, yeah.
I think regardless of the size of the breed that you have, you should know some grooming skills if you're going to own a dog.
Sure.
You wouldn't know, get a pool at your house if you didn't know, have to learn how to take care of it a little bit.
Right.
You have to take care of stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you have to be some, you know, 5-star grooming competition caliber at home pet groomer, but you have to learn maintenance. It's a living thing and it's a huge responsibility. You know, sometimes grooming is a magic trick where we can kind of undo all, you know, negligence or just whatever, having no money or not having time or whatever. It's not always such a horrible thing. Mm-hmm. When a dog gets matted up, it's not always anybody's fault. It's not always somebody's fault, I should say. But right. You should have some grooming skills to maintain your dog, just a little. If any, just something is better than nothing. Learn how to brush your dog. That'll take you so far.
Yeah, yeah. And again, just if by understanding these things, a groomer is going to be more likely to take you on as a client, you know, because I can guarantee if you go in with attitude or you go in with any of the things we're talking about, a lot of groomers are just going to say no to you.
And speaking of price, too, I've definitely said this before, but it bears repeating. Don't let how much be the first question out of your mouth. If you do find yourself, if you have a good dog, and you do keep getting turned away, it could be something as simple as that, because some groomer, we're nice guys. I mean, we'll hear anybody out, even if that's the first question you have for us, because everybody does have a budget. Times are tough, especially right now. But who, for all you know, the groomer that you're walking into or whatever, and if that's the first question, some groomers to get turned right off by that because your first focus is on the price instead of, you know, you don't have any questions for me. Where do I keep the dogs? How's our facilities look? How long have we been grooming? All of that. And that's really important to some groomers. It's important to us too. But again, like we'll hear you out. We're not going to tell you to go away just because you asked us how much. But if you could just move that to the last question you ask and kind of almost have it be like a, oh yeah, how much? It's almost like, don't worry about how much it is the first time. If you're trying to find a groomer and you're struggling to find a groomer, don't worry about how much it is, because even at worst, if it's something that you don't that you think is too much and you can't afford it, then just don't go back. Pay the money and don't go back and learn how to do it yourself. There's the let you, you got, if the groomer charged you $100 and your budget was 70, eat the $30 and you paid a $30, you got taught a $30 lesson. I got to learn how to do this myself because I don't want to spend $100 every time. That's it. It's not, you know,
absolutely.
Eat it. It's just a lesson. You don't.
Yeah.
You don't want to pay $100, then you have to learn how to do it yourself or find it cheaper. But the cheaper you go, the less safe your dog is. Let's put it that way.
It's so true. All right. Well, with that being said, why don't we, we'll go to a commercial and we'll come back with the funny comment segment. Okay. You got that coming up on Groomer Humor.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Groomer Humor on Pet Life Radio. We are your hosts, as always. I'm Anthony Ray, hanging out with my dad, Rudy V. And today, we've been talking about reasons why you might be getting refused at looking for a groomer, finding a groomer at any grooming shops that you're walking into. We've been looking at it from both perspectives, and we've covered a lot. And now, it's good to have him back, because I feel like we haven't had one in a while. We're moving on to our funny comments, something to analyze.
Yeah,
it's been a while. I feel like we missed a,
yeah,
people have been nice lately, but we
everybody's
found one.
So exactly, everybody's been so nice, that's why, you know, it's hard to, like, you know, yeah, we can't laugh at the nice ones, like, but, you know, hey, we love you guys, oh thanks, all right, well,
I guess we're back though.
Yeah, but we got one that, you know, kind of boggles the mind, but here, let's read it. Okay, your videos are good, but your channel lacks excitement. It lacks entertainment, and you talk too low. Okay. And you don't do very much to keep the viewer engaged.
Well, at least our videos are good.
Yeah.
I know what you mean by mind boggler.
Yeah.
Because how can all of that be true at the same time?
Exactly.
If our videos are good.
Right. Videos are good, but your channel lacks excitement. Like, what do you know? I don't know. What are we supposed to do?
I mean,
juggle?
I'm pretty good at cart. Like, I could do a cartwheel.
Yeah. Like, how do we increase the excitement? And, you know, hey, everybody, we're grooming dogs today, man. It's today. You know, like, I mean, We're gonna groom dogs all day today for you guys. Like, I don't know how to
groom it all day today, man. Yeah,
like, we're not
out here all day. We're grooming them.
Not selling exercise equipment. You know
lacks
what I mean?
Entertainment.
It lacks entertainment.
Well, it's dog grooming.
It's dog grooming. How, you know? Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Yeah, again, hello, sweet gal of mine.
You could break out into song.
Like, yeah, like, it lacks entertainment.
But the videos are good.
Yeah.
But how can they be good if they're lacking everything under the sun?
Yeah, then they're not good. He would have been better off saying your videos are not good. Why did you say our videos are good, but your channel, he didn't even say our video. He said your channel. So this guy's on us.
Yeah.
He's been watching the channel, not videos.
Your videos are good.
Good. Your channel lacks excitement. It lacks entertainment.
Yep.
Okay.
Because... he should have said your videos are not good.
Yeah.
Vis-a-vis the following. Like this.
Yeah.
Unless, do you think he just forgot to type not?
It could be, you know, and then he says, you talk too low. I've gotten that before. I'm sorry if I talk low sometimes, guys.
Actually, you've said that about yourself.
Yeah, too, I talk times. Low sometimes because I don't know. I can't control the volume of my voice.
The voice modulated.
I need a voice modulator because I'm going to give him that one.
I'll give him that
one. I'm going to give him that one.
But I don't know if it's you. So because it's hard for you not to talk low when I constantly tell you don't yell into the mic.
And here's another one that like, and you don't do much to keep the viewer engaged. Well, you know what? You're lying again because you're engaged.
Yeah, right.
You're engaged, dude. You said our channel lacks excitement. That means you've been on our channel. Whoever you, I'm not going to mention your name.
Yeah.
But I kind of like you though. I don't want to not like.
He's
you.
Supporting the channel.
You're supporting the channel, no, but you're saying we suck.
But he's still here. That means he wants us to do good.
He wants. That's what I'm getting.
He actually wants us to succeed.
He wants us to do better. And yeah. All right then.
it's I guess it's a mind-boggling, backhanded compliment.
Yeah.
While. Telling us we suck.
Yeah. Like, why do I like them?
Because it's a constructive criticism, I guess.
Okay.
I guess. I don't really believe in constructive criticisms. I believe in being constructive or criticizing.
Yeah.
So, but I guess this is what a constructive criticism is.
He's not using words, and we've gotten this in the past too, like, you guys suck. Yeah. He's not being offensive. He's not being offensive. He's being kind of like, you know.
Well, because he's like rooting for us.
He's rooting for us.
Because he's still here.
Your channel, but how do we do that? What excitement? What do we do?
I don't know. We could like pop a couple balloons randomly, but that would scare the dog. So that's
give us some suggestions. If we lack excitement and we lack entertainment, I don't know. I'm not, you know, I mean, I play a little guitar. Should I, you know, ding, 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 ding. Welcome to the dog grooming show. Ding, 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 yeah. Ding, 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 ding. You know, I don't know.
I mean, I can do pads and you could be walking around in the background.
Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
He's doing,
I don't play guitar.
You play drums though. He plays drums. Dude, like you play drums and while I'm trying to clip a dog's nails, see if that like.
Yeah, that won't freak the dog out
that
at
was,
all.
Yeah, it won't freak
the or dog I out. Could, you know, every time you clip a nail successfully, no hitting the vein or anything. Perfect. Even though there's no joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now and, see that. Entertainment, excitement.
Excitement.
It's exciting that we're able to successfully film and groom any dogs. So
you know what? Now I don't like him. You know what? I don't know. We'll work on it. Whatever. I don't know. He's not a jerk, but it's like, you know, you keep the viewer engaged. What do you want, man?
Grooming itself is engaging.
Yeah.
Look at what we're doing.
Well, look at what we're doing. And the podcast is the entertainment part.
Yeah. Even the nail. The blade sharpening video we posted a couple weeks back.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, you got sparks flying off the thing. It's, you know, it's exciting.
That's exciting. It's engaging, isn't it? Yeah. That's entertainment. Anyway.
I don't know. We'll try to be better.
We'll try to be better. Thank you. I'll try to be better. I'll try to talk a little bit louder. Sorry. I'm sorry if I talk so loud.
All right. So that's going to do it, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you so much for watching. If you haven't already, head on over to our YouTube channel. It's Grooming by Rudy on YouTube.com. Leave a comment, like, share, and subscribe. We want to hear from all of you guys. You could also like Grooming by Rudy on Facebook. Follow Grooming by Rudy on Instagram and Twitter. It has been an absolute pleasure. As always, take care of yourselves and your pets.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.